Everybody say welcome, Brother Lumpkin.
Welcome.
God bless him.
Thank you, Brother Rutledge. Praise the Lord, everybody, and you may be seated. I agree with my wife. You never know from one minute to the next where we might be, and I honestly was en route home. I say home. I do have another meeting scheduled about 9:30 tonight that I've got to be present. And I told Brother Rutledge, I said, I believe we've got enough time to come in and sit down. And I know you don't hold church till midnight, and I'd have time to get on down to the next meeting. And as he has explained, he wouldn't allow that. And I'm sure here, and I would have dearly have loved and appreciated the fact just to have heard him speak tonight, but unfortunately for me, it didn't work that way. You say, you mean you don't have the preacher's itch? No, I really don't. Amen. Sometimes I like to listen. Thank the Lord. It's good to be here and see everybody. Yeah. This is a very good congregation out here tonight, and you all look good. I'd like to commend your chorale that came down to Eudora last night and blessed that service so very, very much. You folks have some of my favorite singers, and of course one of the most favorite songs I love to hear is that one you sing, Daystar, is it?
Yeah.
With that little fellow that sings with that soul to it, you know, he don't look much, his brother. Now, yeah, he does look much, too. He, pretty handsome young man, if you ask me. I hear his mother over there saying, amen. But I love to hear him sing that song. I love to hear this chorale back him up. And that was, all their songs were beautiful, and the testimony of the piano player was excellent, and it was just great. 10th anniversary. I've been in church since 9 o'clock this morning, except for a little drive from Eudora up to Pine Bluff, and I still like to be in church.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I was just reading a little old note I had in my Bible a moment ago, and where I got it, I don't know. It said something like this, that a pastor visited a close friend and a member his church and found him in utter despair, just total despair, and had his head cupped in his hands, and his problem was a very, very heavy financial situation that had come along, and he said he was absolutely ruined, and he said everything is gone. Everything I struggle for and work for, he said, I've had a financial disaster, and I'm ruined. Everything is gone. And the pastor, when he didn't tell him at first that it was a financial disaster. He just said he'd had a problem, and everything was gone, and everything was ruined. And the pastor said, oh, I am so terribly sorry to hear that your wife is dead. He said, well, no, my wife's not. He said, well, I'm sorry, terribly sorry to hear your children are gone. Well, no, that's not it either.
Yeah.
Well, I'm terribly sorry to hear your health is gone. And then doubly sorry to hear that you've lost your character. And the man protested, of course, and said, all these things remain.
Yeah.
These things remain. I still have my wife. I still have my children, my family. I've got my health. He said, I haven't lost my character, my integrity. And he said, but I thought you said everything was gone. He said, you've lost nothing.
Hallelujah.
You've lost nothing. Praise God.
That's good.
Amen. No, sir. Financial despair and disaster and all of that, that's a terrible thing to have to go through, but But our God, hallelujah, when we have him in our heart and soul, we haven't lost anything. Praise God. The Whigs and Tories have come and gone. The liberals and conservatives have come and gone. One of these days, the Democrats and the Republicans will have come and gone. But, oh, praise God, he said, of this kingdom, of his kingdom,
hallelujah,
there shall be no end.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm kind of glad to belong to that kind of party.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of that kingdom. And let me call your attention again to a beautiful cluster of promises. And I'm calling back on something that I feel like maybe tonight that maybe somebody could use it, maybe take advantage of a few verses of Scripture here. I'll turn to it in just a moment, but I've made the statement before that one of the most beautiful, wonderful cluster of promises in the entire Old Testament is found in one of the Bible's most unread books. Praise God. And it's in the 33rd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy is not exactly the book that we would turn to at night to do our Bible reading or get up in the morning and say, I think I'll read from Deuteronomy. We kind of like to go to Acts or the Epistles or something of that, yeah, Psalms and Proverbs and
Amen.
Read it, but you just don't usually say, oh, praise God, I can't hardly wait to get to Deuteronomy.
Amen.
Just not there, you know. And certainly nothing wrong with that, because Amen. I'm telling you tonight, one of the most beautiful groups of promises found in the entire Bible is found there. And I'm glad, praise the Lord, when I get to a place where I think that as that poor gentleman did, that everything was gone simply because of being temporarily disillusioned, that there is some things I can go to in the book of God, that these promises are sure and they'll be here forever and forever and forever. Thy word is forever settled. Hallelujah. It's settled. God said it, I believe it, and the old saying goes, that settles it.
Yeah, right.
Praise the Lord. But here we are over in this 33rd chapter, and it's speaking, I guess, to the tribe of Asher. And I know there are many preachers before that have preached on those shoes being iron and brass, and that's really not my primary thought tonight, but there in that 21st verse, it says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And I know you've read that many times, and it's not very easy to wear a pair of iron shoes. I'm sure of that. But then after that verse of Scripture comes one of those first promises that I think is so beautiful in the Word of God. And it says, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Praise God. And then if you'll read down to verse 27, the first part of that verse of Scripture, here's another promise that comes out of the Word of God. Actually just leaps out. It says, the eternal God. The eternal God.
Everlasting.
Shall be thy refuge. When you think about, you know, old Buddha, he's done come and gone. He's dead as Hector. And and the Reverend Mr. Moon, he's still in the grave, you know. But and every other so-called God that people serve is gone and will be gone. But
right.
When we talk about a kingdom that's forever and ever,
right,
and a eternal God, that's a forever God.
Forever God.
Hallelujah. That's a forever and forever God.
Amen.
I think I might have mentioned, I don't know if I've ever mentioned here before, but when you talk about an eternal God, I recall hearing once where somebody explained in eternity, you know, how long can I depend on this God? And he said, if you want to talk about eternity, let me give it to you in just a little illustration that we humans calculate things by. He said, let's suppose we had a little sparrow, just a little sparrow, and we put him up in the northeastern corner. of the United States of America. And we let that sparrow start up there in the New England states and pick up a grain of sand from the eastern seaboard. And that little sparrow would fly that thing all the way to the west coast. And he'd drop that little grain of sand. And then he'd fly all the way back to the eastern seaboard. And he'd pick up another grain. And he would do that, one grain after another, all the way down the coast until the tip end of the Sunshine State, the state of Florida. He said, after that little canary had done that, removed every grain of sand along the entire eastern seaboard, he said that would be the first minute of eternity. The first minute of eternity. Oh, we think 70's a long time, don't we, folks? And some of us are fortunate to get there. We're a little more hopeful we'll reach 62, where we can get a little double S. Praise God. If I live to be to October the 26th, I know you won't believe it. It'll really shock you to know this, but I'll be able to get some Social Security. Thank God. I hope the members of the district board know that I'll be getting a little Social Security, but that shouldn't happen. Yeah, I was fixing to ask for a raise. He said we should reduce the salary, you know. Praise God. He won't get a fellowship card next year. Oh, praise the Lord. But we think in terms that are so human, you know. But here we have a hope, praise God, that says the eternal God. We don't have the ability to even fathom that tonight, you know. We really don't. But it's a promise in the Word of God. The eternal God shall be thy refuge. And then again, that other wonderful scripture underneath. Underneath are the everlasting arms. But you know, God never puts promises like that in the Bible without a reason. He just doesn't put them in there without a reason. And I've been thinking today a lot and prayed about it and even shed a lot of tears. I guess our friend Brother Merle is probably wearing some iron shoes today, because that's what this scripture backs up and lets us to know after that. He says, thy shoes shall be iron and brass. And that's one of the reasons, that verse of scripture. You see, God never puts promises like this in the Bible without a reason.
Right.
Without a reason.
Right.
And so God was trying to lift the veil.
Uh-huh.
He was trying to lift the veil of the future for some of his children to see.
Amen.
And he was in essence trying to tell them, he said, now listen, your road's going to be rough. You're going to have some expeditions that you've never traveled down before. You're going to have some anxiety and some heartache that you know not of.
Amen.
Now, I know he's talking to the tribe of Asher right here, but I don't think those words are confined to the tribe of Asher alone. Praise God. All scriptures given to us to help us in whatever endeavor it might be. So those words were not limited. So he was telling them, you got some wonderful promises here, but that doesn't mean the sun is always going to be shining bright. And that doesn't mean that the thunder isn't going to clap and the lightning's not going to flash. It doesn't mean there's not going to be some anxiety and some perplexity and some heartache that comes along. Didn't promise us that would never happen to us. Praise God. But he said, listen, I'm still going to give you some beautiful promises that you can hang on to. That word of God was not confined to the tribe of Asher alone. Praise God, because God does not put promises in this book without a reason. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Said you're going to need some iron and brass. It's not very comfortable. Bedroom slippers would be a whole lot more comfortable than a set of shoes that were iron and brass. Praise the Lord. It'd be some more comfortable things that you could, but God's put some promises here But then he tossed in a little something that lets us to know there's going to be some struggles down life's pathway.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And as I just previously mentioned, and I'm sure that Brother Rutledge has had you praying for that tragedy there regarding Brother and Sister Merle and their grandson, and things like that tear your heart out, and you don't ever get used to that.
That's right.
As I've often said so many times, it just takes about one telephone call for your whole world to come crashing in on you. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we think we might be strong and powerful and mighty, and that there's nothing that bothers us and we can withstand anything that comes along. But let me tell you something, friend. One telephone call, just one, can turn your world topsy-turvy. Praise God. And pull the rug out from under. Oh, you better have a hand in God's hand at that time. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm talking about these promises. I think I preached on iron shoes here one time, but I remember telling a story about a baccalaureate service. I don't know if you recall that or not, but where a young lady, you know, those baccalaureate services, they used to have them. I don't know if they still have them or not in high school. When you graduate from high school and the senior class gets together for one final time in one church. And I recall that when I was a younger man. But at this particular one, they had a little girl leading the procession along with a big old 250-pound boy. And when that baccalaureate march, when that processional started, it just moved so slow. Just so slow. And you could tell that little girl walked with a tremendous amount of difficulty.
Right.
You could see that every step she took jarred her entire body. And the reason for that was she was braced in iron from her neck to her feet. And that was back in the days when the old thing parents feared so much was called infantile paralysis. And you remember that, some of you. And thank God that God gives some man the wisdom to help stay that horrible disease, because the only hope back in those days was an old iron lung that would breathe for you, you know. So I thank God that Dr. Salk was given the wisdom and knowledge by God. I believe that God had to help him do what he did. Amen. And that's been a blessing to this nation. And I thank God for that. But this little girl was back before that Salk vaccine was available. And she had been smitten with infantile paralysis. And I remember, I recall, in fact, another young man back when I was a kid, how I used to watch him that had been afflicted the same way. But this processional was timed for her.
Yeah.
She led it. And every step she took jarred her entire body, because she was braced in iron from her head to her feet.
Yeah.
And about halfway down that march on the way towards the platform of the church there, and walking side by side with this big old 250-pounder, big old boy, all of a sudden a little cap jarred on her head right in front of her eyes there. And she couldn't see, so she, on her crutches, just stopped and was holding herself up. And that big old fella just turned and took her hat and put it back on her head like it ought to be, and smiled at her. And then they began to walk on down the aisle. And during those services back in those days, they recognized people and passed out a few honors to what might have been accomplished. And there, towards the last of the gathering there, they rolled out this big old medal, a medallion type of thing, and one of the biggest medals I've ever seen. This fellow said, "We've saved this one to last." And engraved on this big old boy got up and walked up to the podium there and began to talk about this girl that was named Christine. He first of all said, this is given to Christine, who we consider to be our Miss Inspiration. And then he said this. He said, you know, through the years that we have gone to high school, said, Christine is worn these iron braces from her neck to her feet. And some of us know that this little lady has suffered continually in her body. But it seems like that there never has been a hardship for her that was too hard that she couldn't face. And somehow, through all of her difficulty, she's always had a smile on her face. He said, oftentimes in my own battles, when I've looked back, he said, I can remember her backing up against the lockers while all of us ran fast as we could to the lunchroom. And while we were all trying to see who would get there first, Christine would be backed up against the wall with her crutches, and she'd be smiling at everybody as they went by. And he said, you know, oftentimes in my own difficulties, in my times of despair, and when I've had a few problems, he said, somehow my mind's going back to Christine. And when I thought of her, he said, I've had to smile. And he said, so tonight here, Christine, he said, we're so happy to present to you the biggest medal we could find. He said, God bless you, Miss Iron Shoes. Praise God. God bless you, Miss Iron Shoes. Hallelujah. Well, God may not ever ask us to wear a pair, literally a pair of iron shoes, but very few of us ever walk too long on life's pathway without having to put on a pair of them. I said it before, God never promised us that the winds wouldn't blow and that the lightning wouldn't flash and the thunder wouldn't clap and the sun wouldn't shine. Never promised us that there wouldn't be anxieties and perplexities and heartaches. He didn't promise that. No, he didn't. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of the grandest men that ever walked across the pages of the New Testament. One of the most powerful men that ever walked. You find more writings in those Pauline epistles. He wore iron shoes.
Right.
Yes, he did. He might have sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He might have been brilliant, and he was. He might have been schooled in the letters of the law to the point of he could have been called a genius. But Apostle Paul wore those old shoes that he had to wear all the days of his life. And one day the load got so heavy for him.
Yeah.
One day the load got so heavy. Have you ever reached that point?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever got to the point where you haven't been able to figure it out and you don't have the answer for it? And we like to think we could depend on ourselves for everything. But one day that load got too heavy.
Yes.
Hey, I'm not talking about a novice.
That's right.
I'm talking about the man that came out of the Philippian jail and made a journey down to Thessalonica with his back still laid open and the blood not yet coagulated. I'm not talking about an apprentice. I'm talking about a man that started one of the most thriving churches in the entire New Testament in 3 short Sabbaths. I'm talking about the man that went from Thessalonica to Lystra and there under a pile of stones caught up to a third heaven and heard words he is unlawful to speak.
Right.
I'm talking about that man. But the load got so heavy.
Oh, glory, glory.
He collapsed at an old-fashioned handmade altar, no doubt. He said, Lord, this load's so heavy. He said, I've asked you once. And I've asked you twice. And I've asked you, Lord, remove this thorn. Remove this thorn. Paul, Philippi, Thessalonica, Lystra, third heaven.
Right.
Oh, on your knees, collapsed, looking for some type of spectacular answer.
Oh, God.
There he says, Lord, I've asked you once, twice, would you please, would you please remove this thorn? Nothing happened.
Amen.
No spectacular anything happened. You know, I'm talking about the Paul that told that damsel something one day.
Amen.
He says, "Oh, thou all full of subtlety, your witchcraft, so if so on and so forth." I'm talking about a man that had a touch of God.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. Please remove this thorn.
Uh-huh.
Nothing happened. Nothing spectacular. I don't know. I hear a lot of times that preachers say God spoke to me. Now, I can't say that. I heard my own son say that the other day too, preaching. I've never had God just come out and speak to me in a voice. I just have never heard an audible voice. And I don't mind confessing that to you. I don't think that makes me less of a man of God, because I can tell you there have been, and I'm not saying that he don't speak to others. I'm not trying to insinuate that. And I've had impressions that's been stronger than voices.
That's it.
I've had that too, praise God.
Amen.
So I do know when the Lord moves, and I understand that. And I thank God for those times.
Amen.
That I have those impressions.
Oh, hallelujah.
But here he is, and nothing happens, and big, fabulous, exciting. But somehow he must have felt an invisible hand on his shoulder.
Glory to God, I love you.
He must have. And it just simply said, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient."
Amen.
You know, even Jesus walked in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
On down through Pilate's court, up the hill of Golgotha.
Oh, Jesus.
He wasn't wearing sandals when he was going through that.
No.
Praise God. But God knew.
Amen.
God knew. If we were going to have to sometimes wear them things,
amen,
we were going to have some promises.
Yes.
Promises.
Amen.
Praise God. And so he said. So he said to us through his word. Praise God. He promised us through his word some very special and beautiful things. He first of all said, as your days are, as your days are, so will your strength be. Praise God.
Amen.
Can you imagine God tempering the wind to the shorn lamb? God tempers the wind.
Amen.
To the shorn lamb.
Amen. All right. That's good.
He won't even let but just a certain amount of wind blow on that little lamb. You know?
Oh.
God tempers the wind.
Right.
For that particular time and that particular day, he'll temper the wind for the lamb. As your days are, little lamb, I'll take care of you. Maybe another lesson would be the manna that God gave the children of Israel. He gave them just enough for every day.
Amen.
As thy days.
Amen.
So will your strength be.
Right.
As your days of trouble, as your days of heartache, as your days of despair and disappointment, being disillusioned, all of these things, demoralized, as your days of anxiety, as your days of wondering how it's going to all come together,
right,
so will your strength be.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
For he has promised in his word that he would not suffer us. He would not allow us to be tempted. I'm not talking about a bottle of beer, or a fifth of Four Roses, or a quarter Jack Daniel. I'm not talking about that. Praise God.
Right.
The temptations, the external temptation. Count it all joy, James said.
Yes.
Count it, I'm talking about those kinds.
Hallelujah.
Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into divers temptations.
Yes. Amen.
External problems. telephone call, your grandson just got run over.
Oh, God.
The loss of a beautiful man of God named Wilson in his church. Hallelujah. I talked to his brother today. He was talking about Tootsie, I believe he said.
Yeah.
Amen. As your days.
Lord.
As your days of trouble. And as your days of problem. I've got just enough every day for what you need.
Praise
God. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Whatever you need, I've got it. Don't take your hand out of my hand. Don't leave the church at this day and hour. Don't get discouraged at this time in God's economy. Don't bail out now. Don't get disappointed now, friend. He's taking care of you from there back to here. He'll be with you till the trumpet sounds. He'll give you just enough strength that you need for today. But it might not always happen with you tiptoeing down the Milky Way. It may sometimes be struggling, through the valley of despair.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think God knew what he was doing. Jesus
sure
did when he said,
amen,
in the valley, he restores my soul.
Amen.
Yes, sir. I think he knew what he was mean. Didn't say on the mountaintop.
Amen.
Didn't say tiptoeing down the Milky Way. Anybody can make it there. Praise God. But there's some valleys.
Uh-huh.
For every valley, there's a mountaintop.
Uh-huh.
And he'll reach down and pick us up, put us on it from time to time.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then he said underneath the everlasting arms, everlasting again, eternal God, Rick.
Amen.
Everlasting arms.
Right.
Hey, God won't ever let go of your hand. If you get your hand out of his, it's because you've turned loose. I've turned loose. Lord, don't ever take your hand out of my hand. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, sometimes we don't know what we got, folks. Sometimes we take it for granted.
Amen.
What a privilege to be his friend. Amen. Amen. That old eagle tears up that nest, you know. Remember? When he's going to teach that little eaglet how to fly, he starts with the destruction of the nest. Tears that nest apart. And then he puts that little old eaglet on his back. Nothing flies higher than an eagle. Except a saint. Amen.
Lord.
But he'll take that little old eaglet up high, real high, and then all of a sudden he'll just flip him off, you know. And that little thing will start screeching and screaming and somersaulting. Everything down to the rocks and the crags below.
Oh, God.
And just before that little thing crashes in to those rocks, that big old eagle will spread his wings and zoom under that thing. And he'll land on a feather bed mattress.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
And he'll sail that thing back up higher and higher and higher. There have been times when I thought the Lord's forgot me. There have been times when I couldn't touch him. There's been times when I couldn't feel him. I've gone through those famine times before, but just before crashing, just before crashing to the crags and the rocks below, the spirit of that God that will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able to wear will sweep under your soul, and he'll lift you up higher and higher and higher and higher. We are members in particular of that church triumphant. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
So he carries us high when we're about to fall.
Right.
You cannot fall when you have those everlasting, everlasting wings under you.
Amen.
Praise God. So tonight, when the going gets rough, every now and then slip over there to one of the Bible's most unread books and go over there in Deuteronomy and say, hey, I'm going to hang on to that.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yeah.
If by any chance tonight, I'm not a record keeper, I don't know from one day to the next what I'm going to preach or where or when. If this is repetitious to you tonight, if it is, God bless you. I feel like going somewhere and doing it all over again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. He's good to us.
Yes.
He loves us.
Yes.
We're his children. So, tribe of Asher, the tribe of Pine Bluff lets you know tonight we're still the recipient of the same good word you had back way on the other side of Calvary. We're part of that tribe. Praise God. Do you love him tonight? Raise your hands and thank him for his goodness. Praise God.
Out upon Galilee one night, angry waves dashed and man in pride, and to desire.
You need shoes on your feet tonight. If you need preparation, here's the altar. Come and receive from God.
Rowing against contrary winds, knowing not what might be their end, then Jesus came, their dearest friend, walking the sea. He's walking the sea.
Worship, walk.